Good morning, church. Good morning. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. You can laugh at me when I get through. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. For those of you who may not be able to recognize it, I'm not Curtis. Okay, yeah. But anyway, it's good to be here. I'm so glad to be here and able to come out and try to halfway fill in for Curtis and bring the word. One thing we collectively all have in common is that we all want to go to heaven. And that's the one thing that'll keep us all straight, all close. And in the family. With that, let me say again, I want to thank God for allowing us this day for being here. I want to thank my church family. You know, it's wonderful whenever you can go somewhere and you feel like you're a part of the family. I love that. I love that here, and I love being able to bring my family here. And I'm ecstatic about telling anybody to come here. And don't get me wrong, I don't want nobody to fool themselves. I'm not saying that we are perfect and we're walking around with halo and wings and all that other stuff. What I'm saying is that we are a collective group genuinely trying to find God's grace and mercy together. That's how that works. We're the leaning post. We're going to talk about that. I want to thank my wife here. She always, and my family, that they always push me up and tell me, make sure you're ready, make sure you got that. And you need that. You need that. I'm going to tell you something now. It's impossible to be something of impact that would be conducive to life without having somebody supporting you, backing you up. You need somebody. This thing wasn't set up for you to do by yourself. So I love it. I love my family, and they come in, how they come out and support me. My scripture this morning will be coming from John 15, 12 through 15. When you get it, say amen. I'll read. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Yep. If you heard me before, you said, now, what is it greater coming up with now? Well, I've always said, and I always believe, and this has helped me. I believe that the Bible should be applicable. It should apply to us. And it is. It is. We just got to know how to do it and got to put it to us. And there's a lot of things we take for granted. A lot of things we assume. But as we go through this Bible, we're going to find out, you know, Jesus makes it simple. We the one tend to complicate things. Jesus makes it simple. Friends. We're supposed to be friends with one another. And I'm going to talk to you today. My lesson today is, how good a friend am I? How good a friend am I? Why did I take that approach? It's because I can't get anybody into heaven but me. You can't get anybody into heaven but you. And if I'm not on my best accord being a friend, then how am I supposed to convince you that this is a good thing and God is here for us if I'm coming to church? Friend. Friendship. It's one of those things we kind of pass off, generally think that everybody know what it is. Everybody got it down to a science. Everybody feel like friendship is easy. But let me give you a different approach to it. I always like to get you to a point, then we're going to go through some things. Let me get you to a different approach on friendship. Friendship is one of the most lethal weapons in the arsenal of your enemy. I got you looking now. I like that. It is.
It is so lethal. In fact, it is incorporated in part of all our defense training. Why is it so lethal? Because it requires trust. Trust. Friendship and trust go hand in hand. You trust a person, the more you trust, the more you open up to that person. Oh, yeah. If you want, I mean, you're talking about true friendship. Friendship is one of the things you want to have, one of the things you need. And in our society, we require that you have a social relationship with each other. We do. But here's the problem. Without a moral parameter or guidance, this thing can be deadly. Granny, what you talking about? We're talking about friendship. Granny, what you talking about? You know, when I was a kid, when I was going to school, I did not look at anything or carry anything about the Bible when I went to get a friend. When I just wanted somebody to play with. I did. You know, we'd play with them, have, you know, do whatever. And we shared lunch, run through the yard, or whatever the case may be. We were friends. And I looked for him tomorrow, and that relationship grew. It got stronger. Everything was all right until I realized that there were certain things that he did or they did that I didn't do. Friendship. Friendship. My father would say, "Boy, who's that you're hanging with? You may have heard that. Well, who that you're hanging with? Ain't that boy or so-and-so? Yeah. Didn't he do this, 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 and this? Yes, sir. And you with him? You know how they go. Yes, sir. And you think that's right. You know, they bring you to a friendship, but, you know, you're a friend now. Nobody said, well, Grady, you know, you got to go through and give him a security briefing before you make him your friend. That didn't happen. Now, you say what you want to. You say, Grady, where are you going with this? Listen to me now. Your children leave you for 8 hours a day. They go to school or however long they're going for. Whether you realize it or not, whoever that is, they got more influence over him than you do that day, whether you realize it or not. When he come back to home to you, time you eat him up, wash him up, and get him cleaned up, it's time to put him in the bed. What's the adverse effect of that, Grady? Columbine and all the other shootings and things that you got going on. But we're talking about friendship. You say, let me get friendship. I don't want to get too far down the road. I want to stay with this. I want you to hear this because there are some things we look at or we took for granted that's going to come back and haunt us. Friendship. Friendship. And the reason why it's so important is that Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus. None of that come to play to me until I started going to church. None of that came into play. Usually that happened after I had been hurt by one of those friends. Friendship. One of the big things about friendship is that God requires that part of our salvation plan. That's part of it. Friendship. It says, love thy neighbor as thyself. How can you do that if you ain't friends with somebody? How can you do it? You love me, but you never see me, never come by. So, in looking at this, I went to the Bible. And as I went to the Bible and started doing my research on friendship and the requirements and the moral guidance behind it, I found out that it was just by the grace of God that I was able to get my kids through high school. I was pretty much letting them run free. We say
don't mess with so-and-so, don't hang with whatever. But I had no idea of what I should be doing or staying with him to keep him focused to go through school. What's worse than that is that I had friends that I know was not doing things right by God. And I was accepting that. Not realizing that if that's your friend, oh, daddy, like him, I just taught my kid that that was all right. Don't get mad with me. Please don't get mad with me. We're going somewhere with this. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get you there. Friendship. The only way that we can actually increase the mass in this numbers and prove that we are believing in God is to follow his word. Every time we deviate from that, we end up in a mess. We do. Every single time. Every time we put it on the back burner, we end up burning something or get tore up or it don't get cooked. We do. We mess up. So when I get back to this, I thank the good Lord that I was able to get some semblance of control on their moral input. And I learned that not only do I have to teach and do, or teach and say the word, but I had to live the word. So let's go through there, and there are some things I want you to look at, because I had to go through and figure out what I need to get in control of as being a friend. When I come out, or when someone come out, it is imperative to me, or when I say come out, when you meet someone, I don't want you to think that I'm an enemy. I don't want you to think that. I certainly don't want you to think that I'm a get-over or somebody you can push over and run a con scheme on. I don't want you to think that. But by the same token, I have an obligation from God to be a friend. I'm supposed to be a loving person that can help you, whatever the case may be. For that to happen, I got to get to know you. For that to happen, we got to talk. We got to communicate. Friendship, 99% hinge on being able to communicate. Friendship. So let's go through, and we're going to talk about some things here. I looked at and I researched in the Bible, and I found that there was a top 10 list of Bible verses that was most powerful in directing and guiding friendship. You know what I mean? Sometimes I do survey tests and stuff like that. I say, I can go through that stuff just like that. Piece of cake. I can tell you, I'm doing everything. And I know I'm right. Huh? I'm 60 years old, 61. Now I know I'm right. You look at this thing, I ain't get this far down the road not being stupid. Let me see what I got. So I went through, and bear with me a minute here. I researched the friendship and looked at what they referred to as the top 10. The number one starts with Jesus. Listen now. Starts with Jesus. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone will lay down his life for his friend. Okay. To know that, you need to know what a friend was. By definition, friendship is someone that is exceedingly close, other than a family member. It could be a family member, but usually other than a family member. So here, go back to this. Did I know anybody other than my family that I was ready to die for? You have to put things at that turn. Well, it don't necessarily mean that you have to die, but do you have anybody you really to sacrifice an opportunity for? That put me to wondering, do I know any of my friends that was that close? So now I'm on the defense because I didn't. You think about life. We say it. Now we can say what we want to, but think about it. Think about it. 2, John 15:15. Jesus calls us friend. Jesus, No longer do I call you servant, for the servant doesn't know what his Lord does. But I have called you friend, for everything that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus offers hope, direction, and with his words of wisdom, offer freedom. As friends, do we circle back to Jesus for hope when we have a frustrating relationship with somebody? Do we do that? Friendship. Friendship. And the reason why I say these things are important in friendship, because what you want to do is trust. You want to be able to trust somebody. And you say, well, great, I don't need to go through all that. Let me tell you something. Again, speaking for me. Out of all the relationships and friends I had when I come up, I had none of them that I could actually, after I read through those top 10 and looked at and said, my friendship was legitimate by the Bible. Say what you want to. Think about it. Say what you want to. And the first real step in the solving any problem is acknowledging that you got it. You say here in church, we say in here, we will. We say we should. And we say we love you and that, that, and the other. But when you get outside or when you go somewhere and someone don't treat you right. Me and my wife and my family, we've been talking about that. And my brother come up and he brought a issue up to me. And I said, Glenn, it is imperative that because they treated you wrong, you don't exact out revenge. It is imperative. You don't send the signal that you dislike somebody for that. In other words, you both don't go to hell for the same thing. Friendship. Friendship. Let me go ahead on. I know, you know, you ready to get rid of it. The reason why I say this is because you and I, as a Christian, have a spiritual obligation to teach, not just to our children, but the souls and the people that we're trying to bring to Christ. And how in the world can you convince somebody that this is the way to go when you don't believe it yourself? The only time he's my friend is in church. I say it like that because, you know, when you start saying we love one another on Sunday, I guess if you can look in the heart, Sunday today and you had a meter, the love meter would be way over there in the green on Sunday. Huh? On Monday, when it's time to get go to work, that thing sitting down there by the amber and red. You hear me? Why are you blowing the horn? Well, I ain't going to come there. Yeah, let's just be real now. We get caught up and wrapped up into so many other things that we kind of lose focus on, well, yesterday I was in love. He was my friend. I'm willing to do anything for him. Well, today I'm going to be late for work. I can't mess with him. You know, he ain't the right one for that promotion. I like him and everything. We sing together. We shared a hymn book. Look, he don't need to be doing that. Friends. What we call friends. Number three, love the friend like yourself. Now, we always say that. We treat that one too. We use that one probably more than anything. I love my neighbor as thyself. I'm going to tell you straight up. When I was coming up, that was not true. I could say it good as anybody else. Read it on any billboard you've seen, but love him like myself. There's been many times, man, I'm glad that ain't me. I've said that many a time. But here's the thing with that. I send that message as a nonverbal communicate to my children when I do that. So now there's two of us feel that way. Why is that important? Again, if there was ever a time we need continuity with our youth, it's right now. Listen to me now. If there was ever a time we needed to have trust, believe, and faith in a moral guidance, it is right now. By the time you find out that he is just about out of control, he's done taken the lock off his door and don't come out of the room but once at midnight, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And this thing about, well, he's my baby, ain't going to get it.
Everybody in prison and at the graveyard was somebody's baby. At one time or another. Friendship. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible requires, Jesus' path requires that we love our neighbor as ourselves. If you research the word, that does not exclude strangers and enemies. It don't. It don't. I went through this, and by the time I got to the end, I realized I had to make some serious adjustments for what I was doing and the message that I'm sending to my family. The message that I'm sending. Job 11. Job 2 and 11 talks about how Job, listen to this. Job's friends packed up and traveled all the way to Job's place to be with him in his time of grief. Family, cows, everything gone except for his wife. She tells him, you need to go ahead and cuss God and die. They come there and just sit with him and be with him. Sometimes being a friend means just sitting there with somebody. Sometimes it does. You know, me and Randy talked, and I was telling about we have a mutual friend together, and he had cancer. I looked to him. He's a good friend of mine. The hardest thing for me to do was to sit there with him while he was in tears and not go in tears myself. But by the time I got up and left with him, he was happy. I didn't do nothing. I just sat there. Friendship. Friendship. We got to look at that thing a little bit different than what we call a friend. Yeah, I hang with him. I shot with him. I shot basketball with him. I did whatever. Friendship. Life is shorter than what you think. Friendship influences friends. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. A whole lot of times, you can be on the edge of slipping back. But if you got a good spiritual motivating friend there with you, you can hold on together. Strength is in numbers. You and two Christians or you and another Christian together can handle that one problem that you got better than you by yourself. Iron sharpens iron. Christian with Christian. And the reason why that's so important is that you got to make sure that your friend is on the same moral path you on. You can't have a friend that's tore up, blitzed, drunk, hanging out, ain't married, fighting and killing or whatever the case may be, helping you with moral decisions. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's like pouring 5 gallons of water in a heater and say, I'm going to make a fire. You reckon it's going to work? That's crazy. Iron sharpens iron. We have to look at these things for us to be, to live, to do, and bring our youth upright, to understand this friendship, because, again, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. He's going to get in society. If you don't teach him, they're going to teach him. And they're going to teach him something else. They're going to get him something else. Proverbs 12:26. Choose with caution. A righteous person is cautious in friendship, but the way of a wicked leads him astray. You can't be everybody, buddy. Everybody, you want to be friends, but you have to make a Christian decision. You have to make a Christian decision. Because he never done something ugly to you, and you send him to the, that don't constitute a moral Christian friend if he's still doing something immoral? You have to be cautious. Well, I ain't going that way. I ain't telling you to hate anybody, but I'm saying friendship. Remember when I said it is the most lethal weapon in any opponent's arsenal? I befriend you. I got your trust. I come back. That's how every spy went on. That's how everything, every one of the wars, that's why we have what we have. That's why we have what we have as far as our weaponry system, as far as our defense go, as far as CIA and everything else. Your whole intent is to go over there and befriend whoever it is. Huh? And you don't realize that that's what's happening with your child. He turned loose over here at the schoolhouse. It starts out as we just taking the apple and the lunch bucket and whatever the case may be. And starts out. That matures. Man, we were buddies back then. Standing in each other's corner. I got your back. Well, Daddy, he's my friend. We've been friends since this time or that time. Friends. What kind of friend is it? You're going to have to ask and find that out. You're going to have to ask to find. And you remember, I always said, and y'all, I know, I'm shut up. We always said that, don't fool yourself now. The same society that make up the fire department, the police station, the library, the prison, the club, they makes up church on Sunday morning. That's who we do. The SS Enterprise didn't beam no angels down here. That ain't what happened. These the same people you see out there on the highway, in the church, in the store, the other people, the ones either you're mad with or the ones that's breaking in. That's the same ones. There ain't nobody new coming in here. There ain't nobody drive all the way from Darmstadt, Germany, over here to break in your house. He from here. He's here. He's somewhere local. He don't know you. So when we come here, we don't need to look at this thing like they different than us or this ain't right here or this, I'm excluded from this. No. That's the, like we said this morning, the biggest deception in the world is to realize that this stuff ain't happening. And, well, I'm okay. No. No. You better arm yourself and your children with wisdom. What to do? You need to be vigilant. You need to make sure. You need to make sure. See, life is but a short while. Dump the gossip. I like that. Proverbs 16 and 28. A perverse man stirs up strife. A whisperer separates close friends. We friends. I walk in there. They were whispering. When I get in there, they stop. Now, you don't know what they were saying. But at that point, we're all human. We're all human. We at the very minimum got to accept the fact that they didn't want us to know. Or didn't want me to know. We got to accept that. Maybe they are talking about you, maybe not. But you don't do you don't carry yourself like that. Quit. We have a tendency, when I say we, humans have a tendency to love to hear about somebody else's problem. We like to know that you're doing bad. But when me and my son having a problem, you better get out of my face. Start talking. That's how we do. That's how we do. And we bring that to the church. Or we bring that home. Or we allow that to grow. That manifests. That turns into something. Take the gospel out of it. Be a true friend. Be a true friend. If you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. Don't get over there and mess them over. Don't do that. And everybody, listen to me. Everybody got problems. Don't you let nobody sit in here fool you. Don't you go to any church. I don't care if it's Church of Christ, wherever you go to, don't you let anybody get up there and tell you that they're closer to heaven than you are. That's the deception again. He's right. I'm telling you, you got to know what you're looking at. That's the deception again. Every day is the first day of the rest of your life. You need to be trying to keep that one straight. In the military, we got something to say, watch your lane. His 50-meter target pops up. You looking at his, when in fact your 25 done went up and went down. You missed that. You over there in his stuff. Watch. Your lane. Them the only ones you're going to get credit for. Stay in your lane.
Proverbs 13 to 20. Consider your companions. Again, that's what we talked about. One who walks with wise men grows wise. A companion of fools suffers harm.
You know whatever they're doing ain't right. That's what you got to teach them. He may play good, basketball good, maybe the best game player, whatever, however you're trying to relate to your kid. He may be good looking or whatever the case may be. Listen to me. I'm a witness. Beauty, it diminishes as you get old. I'm telling you, that's going. Huh? Look at me. I'm telling you, I was never beautiful. I'm telling you, it's going to go away. So don't you sit here and hinge your entire life on how somebody looks. One of the biggest mistakes that's made by the guys and girls when they're coming up is that you build your relationship off looks. I'm telling you. You can wake up tomorrow to a stranger.
Oh, I didn't know they were like that.
You were busy looking at them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be a model Christian friend.
That's what we want to do. Stay away from angry folk. Listen to me now. I know you don't want to hear it. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Don't befriend hot-tempered people.
Come on. He's mad with the world. And you're sitting here thinking that this thing ain't going to spill over on you.
Trust him, love him, help him when he asks you, and move on. That ain't something that you can fix.
Sooner or later, if that's his habit, habits continue. He's angry. They angry. She angry. Whatever it is. Pray for him. Ask for help, strength, and the whole nine yards. But move on. Don't you lose your glory over there. Or don't you get upset and you slip on your path sitting over there listening to him get mad with somebody else. Usually, the angry person have somebody else angry before it's over. It never happens. If he stays like that, usually they're two by the time they get out of the group. At least two or three. That ain't friends. That ain't friends. That ain't the way God would call it to be friends. And lastly, this is the one that the military use. I talked about it up front. Beware of deception. If someone appeals to be your friend and you appeal to be somebody else's friend, you don't have anything going for you but what your moral guidance give you. But be vigilant. Be vigilant. That is the reason it's still a lethal weapon today. Deception. Just like he talked about. Deception. I can offer you 3/4 of the Bible and 1/4 of mess and have you fall in my church. Be knowledge, be vigilant. I bring to you these things because our friendship as Christians is supposed to be genuine. Again, our friendship is supposed to be genuine. Not just at church, not just in the choir, but wherever. Genuine. Friendship is not defined by race, creed, or color if we all are God's children. Friendship. Jesus didn't say, you are my friend if you got a Corvette. That ain't in there. You are my friend if you stay up in the hills, in the lodge. Or you are my friends if you are African American. That ain't what he said. That ain't what he said. He said, you are my friend. If we use that mentality with ourselves as leaders and display that before our children and teach it to our children, trust me, we're going to make a dent. We're going to make an impact on getting control over the genuine love and grace and mercy of God in our friends and our fellow man. We're going to do something. Let's not just see this as one of those things in the Bible we pass by, but it is a marker, a sign that we change directions in our life, that we want to be that good friend, that person I could call, that person called me, that person that I can believe, that person I can go and tell one of my most hurting secrets to it, and they love and take care of me and mentor and nourish me through it. That person that I could go sit beside the bed or have sit beside the bed with me and cry to be just to be with me. That Christian friend that God expects us to be. What all of this is meaning for us is that every day of our life is a lesson here. And as we grow as Christians, you're going to see things, have things come before you that's going to be very trying. We have to stay the course. We have to pull together. We have to be Christians together. And that don't just mean in the church. So with whatever you got going on, I know that you are my friend. And I know that the whole intent is to be able to say, what a friend I have in Jesus. With that, I would like for you, if you would, please, look at yourself. Look at what we can do to adjust to be better Christians. And we ask that you come now, and as we stand and sing, and look at your plan of salvation. Hear the gospel. Believe. Repent. Confess. And live faithfully. We ask that you come now as we stand and sing.